Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Let those who worship evil's might beware my power. Green Lantern's light.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is DC Movie News, bringing you the most up-to-date discussion and commentary within the DC Universe.
Greetings, fans of the DC Universe. Welcome to DC Movie News, your home for all the latest updates in Jared Leto's hairstyles. I'm Adam Gertler.
I'm Roxy Stryer.
Johnny Laquasto here, y'all.
I'm so upset. Unfortunately, there's a lot of traffic on the 101, and our guest, Nick Fundy, also known as at Dick Fundy, can't be here. Nick Mundy. All I want to say is, I can't believe the whole debate last week, and I never once said to him, poor Dick Fundy, born on a Monday, Solomon Grundy. You know, like, it was right there in front of my face.
That's what was wrong with it, for sure. Ugh. That would have saved everything.
Yeah. In your defense, it was tough to get a word in.
So, is that what it's like in the world of wrestling, Johnny?
As far as just arguing?
Just, yeah.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you know, his he does a lot of film fights. And so he's so used to battling people. I don't think he realized, and he felt bad. I don't think he realized that this was going to be more of a discussion. But the vitriol that our viewers and listeners get, I was shocked. And you know what? I thought it was fine because I like talking to people that have differing opinions.
I thought it was fun, too.
I thought it was great.
I'm surprised you said he felt bad because I think he has nothing to feel bad about. He was awesome. He has his own opinions. Yeah. This is DC Movie News, where we get to talk about DC. We get to stand up for it. We get to diss on it. We get to do whatever we want about DC.
Yeah, and guys, we got more dislikes on that episode than any others, but we also got more views in a week than any others.
Twitter jumped up, man. And look, I understand if people disagree with him, and that's perfectly fine. People might disagree with us sometimes, but, you know, the beauty of life is you come across people that sometimes you get along with them, sometimes you don't. Bottom line is, if you have an opinion, I respect that. I'll argue. There are times where I was yelling at him back and forth.
Yeah.
And that was fun for me. You know what I mean?
So was it fundy for you?
It was fundy.
I had a good time. I really thought it was good. And we're going to continue to have different guests on the show. People like Andrew the Sizzler Kistler.
Yeah.
Mike Kalinowski, who a lot of people like. And we're just going to keep that going. You know, we have a lot of time to cover before we start to get movies rolling out. So there's a lot of time for debate. Before we jump into the official news, we didn't put this in the rundown, but we were talking about the fact, you know, Marvel, there's strong rumors led by James Gunn, who, you know, pretty much out and out said it in a Twitter interview that Marvel was not going to be at Comic-Con this year. And usually on the Saturday of Comic-Con, it's like Hall H, it's Warner Brothers, and it's Marvel. People are camping out all night. Does this radically change Comic-Con? Is, like, San Diego going to be able to be milled about, like, less crowded this year? What does it mean?
It ain't going to be less crowded. Because, you know, a year ahead of time, people are already, you know, planning the whole event.
Yeah, if you were online when they told you to be online, you still couldn't get tickets this year.
It was,
sold out. You know, I just am wondering, what kind of a play is this? Like, I don't know. What's this move?
I think Ultron is their big movie. Ultron comes out in May. Ant-Man does come out, like, the week after Comic-Con.
Yeah, but,
so it's very quick.
But what?
But they also did the big event at El Capitan Theater, which I was at. We're talking about Marvel Studios
Capitan.
Now. And here's the thing. Like, they had the cast of Ant-Man there. They had the cast of Avengers there. Can you think about the logistical nightmare of getting all those people, some of whom are currently filming movies, getting them off the set, getting him to San Diego, hiding them, getting him on these panels? It's like kind of an S show.
But it's Comic-Con.
Yeah, I understand that, but I don't think it's any kind of power play. I just think it's the fact that they have a lot going on and people are going to see the films anyway. Now, it's upsetting for the fans because they would love to see the stars there, but at the same time, this really paves the way for DC to do something amazing.
Thank you! Now, let's bring it back to DC, what we're here to talk about. I expect DC is going to have a lot to show this year. I think we're going to see stuff from Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad.
Agreed.
Oh my god, it's completely DC's year, and if anything, I think Marvel maybe got a little scared because we have so much to show this year.
I would love to see him drop something animated too. That'd be really cool.
Who?
At Comic-Con, DC.
Oh, wow. Well,
maybe a teaser, something to add to the whole.
Well, they've been keeping up like to two or three animated films a year. We'll talk a little bit more about their next animated film coming up. We have a great hot rumor from yesterday. El Mayimbe, the Scootmaster Supreme from Latino Review, a couple of days ago started posting, he said he was going to conduct a social experiment on Instagram and drop DC news every day. The first thing that I saw was this rumor that Chris Pine, the most recent Captain Kirk, is being pursued as Hal Jordan.
Yeah.
Green Lantern. Guys.
I think it's perfect. I think it is so perfect. I know that there are mixed opinions out there. This picture actually helped me believe that it's perfect,
though. I hate the fact that he is that handsome. It's really, really annoying.
I heard that up close he doesn't have the best skin.
Shut up, dude.
You're making it up. You're making it all up.
Whether it's true or not, who cares?
Start that rumor.
Now, here's the thing. I've often said that I wanted them to move on from just another Hal Jordan movie. If this is true, I don't think it's going to be a Hal Jordan solo movie. I think we're going to get that buddy cop movie that I'm really craving. I think because the thing about Pine is kind of like Ryan Reynolds, maybe not quite as silly. He's funny. He brought a lot of humor to Captain Kirk. The whole beginning of that first Star Trek
movie is amazing. Horrible bosses.
What do you look like? You got a cat who ate the canary.
No, it's just I've mentioned this movie so many times on this show that people are going to start thinking it's my favorite movie. But if you guys remember, I was talking about This Means War when we were talking about Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
And obviously, Chris Pine was the counterpart in that movie. And he was so funny and good. And like, I think he's awesome.
Well, don't
and,
forget Horrible Bosses, too.
I mean, yeah, so absolutely.
Not two, just, per se. Horrible Bosses.
Yeah, as well.
Also, yes.
Horrible Bosses 2 sucked.
But that was... Horrible Bosses was a good movie, and he was good in a good movie. But being good in a not good movie is a whole different level of elevation that I feel like he brought.
I think doing a solo film is a mistake, because, look, 2011, we had the atrocity that was Green Lantern. I feel like do something different.
So I think we're going to see either a Green Lantern core film or a buddy cop film that we said takes place in outer space. If you're playing off of Pine's humor as Hal Jordan, then I think it opens up the opportunity to get sort of that more stoic, more serious John Stewart character in there. I want to see that classic, two cops. Basically what I'm asking for is Lethal Weapon in space. Is that too much to ask for?
Are you kidding me?
To go back to the days of Lethal Weapon. I'm getting too old for this stuff. Come on.
I am not getting too old for that shit. Make it happen. And besides, he already played Captain Kirk. He's used to fighting in space.
Yeah, I really hope this is true, and I hope the John Stewart stuff is true. I'd love to hear what you guys think. Let us know. As we alluded to in the past couple of weeks, Joel Kinnaman, what did Mundy Fundy call him? Bad Rebel Cop?
Yeah.
That's fine.
He's officially official.
Yes.
So Joel Kinnaman is officially Rick Flagg. I don't dislike Joel Kinnaman at all. I thought he was fine in RoboCop. I haven't seen the TV show that he does that he gets a lot of praise for. Do you know which one? The Fall,
no,
The Americans.
It's not The Fall. It's
The New Zealanders.
The Killing.
That's
one. Oh my God! When you throw me TV questions and I get flustered, you know it's a bad time
Maxie
for me.
Was panicking.
Okay,
I panicked.
So this is official. I'm moving on. I'm over Tom Hardy. I'm excited. It's going to be good. It's going to be good for this guy's career. Here's a couple of quotes that Kinnaman had to say about the film. David, he's cool talking about David Ayer. I think you're afraid when you go into a big superhero movie.
He cool.
He did RoboCop.
He cool.
That it's going to be just kind of action, and you're not going to get to the bottom with the characters. He added, but he's going to be able to do both. Again, talking about David, really give it depth and scale. He continued, all the conversations have been like, wow, we're really going there? It's fun. So particularly that last comment, what do you think he could be talking about in terms of tone the film?
I just think that Rick Flagg's going to have some levels to it. Because if you look at the character Rick Flagg, he's got a roller coaster of a life and a roller coaster of a personality. You need a guy, in my opinion, if you're going to be the quote leader, I want to see a lot of darkness. I also want to see your past. I want to see the relationship with Amanda Waller. So they must have a lot of confidence in Kinnaman as an actor, I guess.
It's really hard when you think about the quote, you're really going there. Because there could mean like into this very funny, obscure space, or it could mean into this very dark, twisted. Based on the fact that this is Suicide Squad, you would have to think they're going to go really dark and twisted in a way that he wouldn't assume a PG-13 Suicide Squad movie would be able to go.
And that's really what I'm hoping that he's talking about. The Suicide Squad is supposed to be, even though they're our protagonists, are ostensibly the good guys for the film, they're still the bad guys.
Yes.
They're going to be going up against worse guys. But Rick Flagg is the kind of the guy that has to corral this team.
He does, but he's also very mentally unstable. So you have to have those levels as an actor. Not easy to do. Tom Hardy, would have been able to do
it. Which will be really interesting to see how far they go there. So if that's what they're talking about with his instability, it's very exciting.
Well, judging by his quote going, oh, we're going there? That means there's going to be some.
But I have to say, this is not me being negative. It really does make me lament the fact that Tom Hardy's not going to be
that's
playing
all right.
that role.
You know, it is what it is.
Because I love the Hardy, and I would love to see what he did with that role.
When we do say official, going back to when you said, is that 100%? Because... wasn't Tom Hardy officially?
Yes, but that's different. That's dropping out.
Yeah, but
you can be official and drop out.
You can be officially official and then not official anymore.
Joe, that's rare.
Kinnaman ain't dropping out of this.
It was more, I think, just that this was a strong, hard rumor that became official. Like, he's confirmed. Kind of like the Viola Davis kind of thing.
This role is a career maker, whereas Tom Hardy, I mean, he's not above suicide.
Exactly. This could be like Hugh Jackman and the guy from Mission Impossible 2, where Hugh Jackman came in from behind and did Wolverine, and you saw how that worked out, and I can't even think of the name of the guy he replaced.
And Kinnaman apparently is
in X-Men, I'm talking about.
He's getting good reviews from Run All Night as well.
Yeah.
What were you about to say, Roxy?
He probably read the script. I mean, by probably, definitely was able to read the script before accepting this, and we know Hardy was not, so I doubt he would drop too.
Now, getting back to El Mayimbe, another scoop that he dropped about Suicide Squad was the real threat of the film. A character called, what was it, Orphim, who leads a terrorist squad called Onslaught. So this, what I like about this, I'll just tell you, if we really want to see our bad guys be bad guys, they're the Suicide Squad. But have them pairing up against a terrorist organization. Yep. See, here's the thing. You know, you always think about, like, what would unify us all globally? Like, what would unify enemies?
Right.
And you always say, like,
aliens.
Oh, an alien threat. Yeah. Then all of a sudden, all of your enemies are friends. That's the kind of dynamic I want to see with Suicide Squad. Like, on 9/11, everybody in this country was on the same page.
And with Onslaught, they're going to have that opportunity to do that. Because they do everything for their own agenda. And they are a flat-out awful group.
The idea of a terrorist organization has such a stigma and is so relevant to basically all the criminality in the world today. I'm talking about ISIS, Al-Qaeda. Basically, all the threats of the past 20 years have been terrorist threats.
Yeah.
So compared to criminals, you know, drug criminals, thieves, run-of-the-mill crooks, all of a sudden, we can, as an audience, see them as our heroes for the film.
It humanizes the film, too, in a way that, like, Dark Knight kind of did, where you bring it into this world and you're showing people that this is just as if there were heroes in this world. We're not bringing in this outside force from millions of miles away. So I think.
And they've also killed Suicide Squad members in the past, if they really want to go.
Yeah, and I think they will. Oh, I definitely think we'll see. And I think for the Suicide Squad potentially moving forward as a franchise, I think this is an evolving team like the Avengers. I think Rick Flagg is the character that will be consistent, and I think Amanda Waller will be consistent. Mm-hmm. But, you know, characters like Deadshot. Also, what do you think about staying in the Suicide Squad? Another rumor is that...
Onslaught, though. Are you talking about...
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, so Onslaught, a member of Onslaught, could be Deathstroke.
Well, they're also saying that Ed Harris...
Right, that Ed Harris, who was rumored to be Rick Flagg Sr., could be the... Is it Orphim?
Antiphon, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I don't know who that is.
He's a burn victim. He's got a prosthetic leg. And I actually saw a picture of... I think it was a character Ed Harris has played in the past. He actually had part of his face burned. Like, he looks like... If you look in the comics, Ed Harris looks like he'd be a perfect... Obviously, he's older... But he looks like he'd be the perfect.
So this could be a swerve character.
Character.
Some people are even suspecting that this could be Rick Flagg Sr. Possibly in a turnaround at the end of the film, we see a great reveal, and it's like, you know, Rick Flagg's father is the ultimate bad guy, and then we really have a father and son going against each other.
But then what
Just
does that lead?
In here.
What would that lead to, though? Because we're not going to have Suicide Squad 2. We're not going to, like, what...
What do you mean, what would it lead to?
Like, if the end is some big reveal, then does it just drop off like that?
Not
or
necessarily
does that
the
go
end,
on?
End, but maybe going into the third act.
Oh.
Then we realize, you know, your enemy is revealed. I don't know. I mean, I'm just speculating. Or it could be the end. It could be the epilogue. After we've defeated the threat, we find out that this guy, Antiphon, is in fact Rick Flagg Sr., and it does set up a sequel, because I disagree. I think there will be a Suicide Squad 2.
You do think so?
Oh, absolutely.
It depends on who we lose.
And people...
I don't think any of these films, they're not making with the thought that they hope they warrant sequels. I don't think DC Warner Brothers is going for one-shots.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I definitely see what you're saying. I'm just wondering if, because it's not on the slate, when even are they going to have time to fit that in? I guess in 2 years.
Yeah, after.
And people are bringing up a great point in chat roll. I think you were going to bring it up next, actually. The rumor of Deathstroke,
Joe Manganiello.
Not just the casting.
Okay.
Just the fact that where is Deathstroke going to play in Suicide Squad? Is Onslaught going... Because Deathstroke is his own entity.
Right.
So are they? Is Onslaught going to hire him? I doubt he's going to team up with Suicide Squad. Maybe he will.
Here's one of the rumors that's going around now, is that Deathstroke, in this iteration, will not be a super-powered Deathstroke, as he has appeared sometimes in the comics, but he will be a member of this Onslaught terrorist organization, which would be really interesting to play opposite Will Smith's character. You know, we would see Deathstroke and Deadshot going against each other. I always got them confused in the comics anyway, so.
It would be very different than what we saw, I'm guessing, in the comics, like you said, but also in Arrow, when
right.
we saw Deathstroke.
Where they're kind of like on the same team,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm wondering if they would be
Although,
able to...
Although, on Arrow, was Deathstroke, who Manu Bennett played, was he ever on the same team?
Yeah.
Was he on the Suicide Squad?
He's on his own team, but right. yeah, he. I think he was. He did do a mission for Suicide Squad. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that was true.
I'm not sure. I will say, though, I thought Manu Bennett on Arrow played that character amazingly well. And I think he's just as good an actor as Joe Manganiello as well. And they both came from successful, ultra-violent cable TV shows.
We've made it very clear we're not crossing over in any ways, though, so
definitely.
We couldn't have pulled them.
We couldn't have pulled them.
Well, while we're talking about Deathstroke and Onslaught, that begs the question, if they're all involved in Suicide Squad, I would think the role of the Joker is going to be rather small.
I would tend to agree. I mean, that's what I've said the whole time. I really hope this isn't the Joker's film.
No,
I hope
it shouldn't be. No.
I'm hoping that the Joker is such a massive character in the DC universe that he's slowly established through a couple of films, as we're seeing with Thanos in the Marvel films. Like, the Joker has got to be a slow burn. So,
and also DC saying we want to introduce characters. Everyone knows the Joker, so I think they really want to use Suicide Squad.
You know what's really wild too that I was thinking about. There have been 7 Batman films, and in none of those films has Batman coexisted with other superpowered individuals in the DC universe. Am I wrong? I mean, so this is the first time we're going to see a Batman on film who deals with a lot of supernatural elements and a lot of superpowered beings. So it's a huge kind of leap for cinematic Batman.
Yeah.
As the biggest Batman fan here, though, how does that make you feel? Like, something you'd be excited for, or when you say we haven't seen it
because
you don't want to?
It makes me a little nervous. And I'm telling you, I'll be completely honest, it makes me a little nervous because what I always love about Batman is how his stories are isolated in his own world,
yeah.
and they always feel very Batman. What I don't like about a lot of the new 52 Batman stuff is that, you know, there's Superman showing up all the time, the Justice League's always there, it's great. They're kind of like infringing upon my one guy in Gotham kind of thing. And it's fine, but you're seeing Batman in the comics now appearing in suits of armor a heck of a lot more. Like, there's this thing where you can be playing with the toy too much, right? Like, when and I know I'm going to sound like old Bat fan here, but like when Batman shows up in a suit of armor in Dark Knight Returns, we never saw it before, and he goes against Superman, it's badass. Now it's like every other issue, Batman's in a different...
Doing
a different suit. It just takes the power away.
It's funny you mention that, because the new...
Yeah, we'll get to that,
well, we'll
too.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Speaking of Robo-Batman, coming Jesus. Soon. also, Cara Delevingne, who's playing Enchantress in Suicide Squad, had the quote that it will blow people's brains out.
Yeah.
What do you take from that quote? What exactly does that mean?
I've just never heard that expression before. Like, blow your mind
blow
out.
Blow your mind.
Yeah. I guess even blow your brains would be one thing, but blow your...
Does she smile ever? She's got that model.
Is she getting method? What's going on with her?
I don't know. She's got like a really sexy, unique thing, though. So we can't find fault.
No,
yet.
I'm not. Trust me. I'm not. Can I do my impression of her real quick?
Yeah, please.
Ooh,
that's really good. Is that Blue Steel?
I thought there were going to be words involved. It's just a look.
No, that's the Enchantress.
It's her in every picture she tweets or Instagram.
The Suicide Squad movie will blow people's brains out. I just think that's a bad choice of words given like what happened on the day that Dark Knight Rises opened. It kind of just like brings me back there for some reason. I don't know why my mind's going there, but it's like, I don't know.
Well, was anybody kind of...
That's not an expression. It will blow people's brains out.
It'll blow your brains out. And was anybody thinking that this was offensive in any way? Like, when she says blow your brains out literally and then talking about just, like, what's happened in films recently?
I don't think you can take anything a model slash actress says that literally. I mean, on a tweet.
When the tweet ends with literally?
Was she being deliberately,
maybe she's
hyperbolic? Or does she just not know the expression?
She's saying it's in 3D. I don't know.
Oh, okay, that's fine. So yeah. People's brains will be blown out in 3D.
Let's not spend much time with what Cara Delevingne's trying to say.
That makes perfect sense.
Sure. People in the chat are saying that Deathstroke wasn't involved at all with Suicide Squad and Arrow. So,
I don't think so.
But Deadshot was. So
Deadshot was not. I thought so. I didn't want to contradict the TV girl.
No, but you're right, and I'm remembering. Deadshot was, Deathstroke wasn't.
There's a really cool interview with... we've talked before about the score of... Batman v Superman, Hans Zimmer doing the score, and how he is giving the specifically the Batman scoring duties to Junkie XL, who he's worked with on Man of Steel. There's a great long 45-minute interview with Junkie XL that's online right now. I think it's from Collider.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about Mad Max, which he's doing the music to. I guess this Run All Night that he did the soundtrack to or the score to. He doesn't say much because he's very guarded. But what he does say is that basically Zack Snyder's direction has been is just to think of the hugeness, the largeness, the majesty of these characters and how they are bigger than any director, any actor, and to go there. And also, when asked about his future projects, he was very hush-hush.
Yeah, he was hush-hush about that and hush-hush about how long he's working on this for and when it does something else. But my favorite thing that he said was that he would do this for free.
Right,
and
exactly.
I loved that.
And he's an old, middle-aged European guy. You think Junkie XL, you think he's like a 17-year-old DJ, right?
He was like, I shouldn't say that, and my agent's going to get pissed at me, but honestly, this is the dream. I would do this part for free.
I think
that was so cool.
Any of us would. I think any of us in chat role or sitting right here would be in any of those movies for free, as long as we get a cool
work
poster.
On them.
Can I make a bold prediction right now?
I think you can.
I'm predicting that Junkie XL is doing the Suicide Squad score.
That's fine.
Wow.
I think
why is it fine?
Hans Zimmer has said that he's going to be working on the themes for some of these other films. I think the two of them are going to be kind of like the musical directors of the DC universe, particularly Hans Zimmer. But I think just the nature of Suicide Squad, if you look at the soundtrack that 300 Rise of the Empire, it's a lot of this very rocky kind of stuff.
Mick Fondy's favorite movie.
Yes, exactly. I think that would be great, too. I hope that's true.
By the way, our friends in chat role have decoded the Cara Delevingne tweet. Amanda Waller puts bombs in Suicide Squad members' heads to
Thank
explode.
Thank you.
So blow your heads literally. Boom.
I'm an idiot. Cara Delevingne, you are actually a genius. Wonderful play on words.
Good for Cara.
So does that mean her character specifically?
Maybe.
It's just going to be like a funny running gag. Like people's heads are going to get blown out. Yeah,
she's not going to blow up Enchantress.
She's pissed because she doesn't make it off page 6.
I don't know.
Oh, that's where she puts the bombs, though? I feel like usually it's like a chip under your skin.
No, it's under people's heads.
Under the heads?
That's what we've seen, at least in Assault on
Arkham. It's going to blow your brains out.
That is really funny.
I think I would just stay in prison.
I all of a sudden love her now.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all it takes from Adam Gertler.
Boom.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, so... Junkie XL, I'm excited to see what he's going to be doing.
He's got a pretty awesome DJ name.
I feel like that we have a lot to get to, guys. I feel like that's movie news. Now we're moving on to some TV stuff.
That's
what it looks like, I think, yeah.
It's a bird, it's a plane, it's Supergirl. We have images of Supergirl, y'all.
Very classic.
Very classic. And also our favorite DC movie news poster maker extraordinaire, Brennan Drapeau. Recently of the Fantastic Justice League poster, has also put together a great little Supergirl poster. Check that out.
All of the ways that she look, for better or for worse, look identical to all of the fan-made costumes when she was originally announced. You know, all over the place, people were posting like, oh my God, Supergirl, and making little Photoshop images, and they all looked exactly like this. So
what do you think? What do you think of the costume overall?
I think if they're going for a classic look, they hit the nail on the head.
Mm-hmm. No yellow in the suit and the S?
There is no yellow. It's a more subdued red. I think she looks good. I think that I just have a little bit of issue with her being mousy, but you guys know how I feel about mice.
Brennan, is that Tom Welling as Superman in the background? Who's your Superman? Just let me know. Tweet that at me. I felt like I was trying to make it out. I couldn't tell. I didn't think it was Cavill.
The outfit where the superhero costume, if you will, was designed by 3-time Oscar winner Colleen Atwood, and her exact quote was, "I wanted to embrace the past, but more importantly, thrust her into the street-style action hero of today." So there you go.
Street-style.
Street-style.
I love the fact that they're fully going for it, that they're not trying to come up with a real fancy, different take on Supergirl, that they're straight up going for a Supergirl. Supergirl costume. That's what I want to see in Supergirl.
This is what Langley Neely says in the chat. I hate saying this, but she looks like a fan at Comic-Con, not Supergirl. Huh.
Which is kind of cool.
Like, it does kind of look like a costume I could have bought at iParty or
whatever.
Sure,
I hear you. We have to wait to see it in action, of course.
Right.
Here's what she looks like as Kara Danvers, her female Clark Kent. You were saying she was kind of mousy.
Yeah, and she looks mousy as
heck
here.
She does look mousy.
But she also looks adorable, and this is supposed to be a mousy look. This is supposed to be her being mousier. I don't want her to look mousy as Supergirl.
I like the fact that they didn't go with a knockout model type for Supergirl, though.
Yeah, she is beautiful in the kind of look that she rocks. She
what do you
really
think
is.
Of the physical look, Johnny, of Supergirl? Like, you know, because clearly it's not... You're not going for blonde bombshell.
Yeah,
kind of.
Why would you? I don't want that. I want a person.
Well, in the comics,
to.
That's how she's often portrayed. It's just like busty, blonde,
that's
no
why.
Waistline.
But in live action, I think you want a character you can relate to. So look at her. Obviously, she works at a newspaper. You know?
Yeah.
Earlier on, when we talked about her being cast as Claire Holt potentially, that was more classic what she would look like, who obviously was the
right.
actress from Vampire Diaries Originals. She was on Pretty Little Liars too, but she was like this blonde. More sexy kind of look, and this is a cuter thing. Oh, I don't know. You guys are men.
I'm down.
I'm totally down
look?
For it.
It's CBS. They're not going to be that serious.
Supergirl is coming this fall, guys, so it's going to be here before we know. You'll probably see some of this at Comic-Con, I would imagine.
Yeah.
You're going to see a lot of Supergirl presence at Comic-Con, much like we saw Gotham last year was dominating a lot of Comic-Con. I think Supergirl's going to be big there this
and
year.
And I do want to say that, because I don't know if I've made it clear, that I am so incredibly excited for this show.
Yes.
And I hope she blows me away. And so far, she's been a great actress in everything she's been in. So,
in other Berlanti DC stuff, Flash will be back in a couple of weeks and beginning the end of its first season.
So this week, it'll be back the 17th.
Is it the 17th?
Yeah, it's back the 17th.
Right.
Which
all
is
right.
This Tuesday.
So it's coming back soon, and we saw there's been a trailer on where we see the first images of the Trickster with Mark Hamill. But what's really interesting, is that they showed images of him in his Trickster costume from the 90s. That blew my brains out.
Yeah. And it seemed like he's relating it to them. Like, he's back and he was there. Are they tying this in? It's
so multiversey. Weird. I mean,
it was
obviously
a great teaser. And the fact that they were even spelling out, like, kind of what you're going to look for each week.
Right, yes, exactly. And also Liam McIntyre as the Weather Wizard, as the other.
Which was so cool.
Very cool.
And then, of course, we had him naming him. You might call him Weather Wizard, Cisco. And I was like, oh,
and Cisco
so good.
Brings that. Yeah, I've been waiting to do that since week one.
Yeah. I was like, I've been waiting for you
to
do that. See,
that's what I like about Flash, is they use the humor right. They're self-referential just enough. And that show is knocking it out of the park. And,
that's my favorite.
So we're also getting hints about the new CW show, which is going to be the superhero spinoff show.
Yeah.
Now we've already said that we're probably going to see the Atom on the show. We're going to see Firestorm on the show, and there's been talk about three superheroes not seen before. And then there was an article out that was speculating as to what these characters could be. And some of the speculation are Rip Hunter.
The Traveler.
This guy, there was a character described as a time traveler, described in the character breakdown as a traveler. So people were suspecting possibly Rick Hunter, possibly Booster Gold, but they also alluded to the fact that these characters would never have appeared on TV before.
Yeah.
And we know Booster Gold has.
Right.
So that's one.
They're describing him as a Han Solo type full of secrets and sarcasm.
Yes. Martial artist. Time traveling, that seems like the kind of thing that you could pull off on a CW budget and make it look pretty cool.
Well, on a CW budget, which has now means something different than it used to mean. Now their budgets are getting bigger and bigger because their shows are blowing up.
And the shows look a lot better than they used to look.
Oh my God.
What's the second character?
The second character is, again, this is just supposition. None of this is confirmed, but one of the characters is described as a Latina female.
Mm-hmm.
Yolanda Montez is an interesting character that's had many different incarnations. As you know, with DC, a lot of the same name has meant different things on different Earths and different multiverses. She has appeared as the niece, of Ted Grant, who is Wildcat. Wildcat Ted Grant, at least, has been a big character on The Arrow, the guy that owns the gym.
Yeah.
So, Roxy, would you speak to that at all?
To that character?
To Wildcat, to Grant.
I wonder what his part... Well, I don't want to give anything away to people who haven't been watching, but that character might not have the best outcome on the show Arrow, so I don't really know. And then, at what time place is this taking place? Is it afterwards? Is it during the same exact timeline? You would think so they could do crossovers.
So you're saying this could be an interesting time for his niece to come into town,
some sort of mourning or some, right? Absolutely, but like she wants to come back. I mean, that's what we keep seeing on Arrow. People need reasons to decide to start fighting, and it's usually a death in the family of some sort.
Death in the family. Nice DC reference there.
And the way they're describing this female warrior is she's Latina and socially awkward, but at night a threat to others.
Ooh, I like my threats to others to be socially awkward during the day.
But at night.
She gonna get up in an A.
The last one that is being supposed is described as an African-American character that many people are suspecting might be Static. Now, I've seen the TV show Static Shock. And I know this is a character that is not, like, DC canon originally. This was another acquisition, kind of like Shazam, but has since been incorporated into the DC universe.
So do you feel like it would be a smart move to further incorporate the character? Or do you think that because there isn't that much of an audience yet?
No, I definitely think so. Because people know the show, Static Shock. They know the character. This is a character that has familiarity. And I, again, electromagnetic powers, this would totally fit in this world.
Okay.
I love this idea, this spinoff show. Because part of what I hate is the feeling that, like, you've got a story to tell and you stretch it out over 23 episodes with all this unnecessary side stories. I want to see stories contained into 2 or 3 episodes. I think that is so cool, like a mini superhero anthology show.
Yeah, like miniseries.
That's
in a way.
The idea. There's going to be team-ups that occur over a couple of episodes. What do you guys think about that? That has not been done before.
Keep you invested,
It's like made-for-TV movies, almost.
Right. And it's a way that we can avoid superhero fatigue because it's all taking place in one show, and we're just, like, recycling who's going to appear here. And you could try out characters for the first time.
It would probably up the budget a little bit, but like you said, the shows are doing so well, I don't think that's an issue anymore.
Well, and also, I heard that they're making these shows, even though they are doing well and they do have larger budgets, they're making them for really cheap, which is bizarre.
Listen to what it also does for the budget, though, is if an actor is a series regular, they get paid more than they do if they're a reoccurring.
Oh, of course.
So the characters, like, it sucks for the actors.
Oh, I know where you're going with that.
But the actors would be all recurring. Nobody is a serious regular on this show.
And no one's going to say no to playing a superhero, even if it's only 3 episodes.
Nobody's saying no.
Yep.
So I'm really psyched for this one.
Well, especially if it's only 3 episodes, because actors are so busy nowadays. Maybe they just want a little superhero in their life.
I'm available.
LaQuasto is available. Moving over to Fox. Fox's corner of the DC Universe. This is interesting.
Baffling.
In an interview on Today, in an interview on Live with Kelly and Michael.
Kelly and Michael.
Jada Pinkett announced that she won't be returning for season 2.
Kinda.
She said, "I don't think so, no. I signed for a year and the year's up." And then she also said, "There are some great things ahead on Gotham. Believe you me, there's a lot of good stuff coming."
I don't like...
What's going on
I don't like how she... If this is true, and this could be a swerve, I don't like the fact she's like, "Nah, I'm not coming back. Spoiler alert." Don't... What are you going to say that for?
All right. Here's my big... Yes, but here's my bigger issue. You introduce this character that is not part of the DCU.
Right.
Fish. We don't know who this is. We've never seen her before.
Only her friends call her Fish.
And I'm one of them.
Okay.
People are confused. People are thinking, why did we choose her? Why couldn't we have picked somebody else? Everybody, or most of the people I talked to at least and saw on the blogs, whatever, people really weren't liking her. And now, finally, they're getting some people to like her. There's some following because she gouges her own freaking eye out. Mm-hmm. And they're like, wow, this woman is crazy. And then they kill her off? What?
She could just be, you know...
That would just be so bizarre to make us work so hard to actually accept a character.
What do you guys think? Yay or nay on Fish? Does she live or die?
I will say this. I enjoyed the heck out of Gotham this week. The way it played in at the end where Cobblepot and Falcone were actually in cahoots the whole time. Mm-hmm. Really, really like that. And I'm looking forward to seeing where things lead us
Was that a repeat? Because it wasn't a new one this week. That was a repeat, probably, right?
My DVR recorded it. I didn't get last week's, so maybe it was last week.
It's actually on hiatus right now, so I know
until
what you're
April
talking
13th.
About.
Until April, I just nobody else thinks that's bizarre that she would be there for
here's
one
what I
season.
Think. If they're going to kill her, I think great. I would love to see her die because I would love to see a major character that has made it the whole season die. It helps to elevate the Cobblepot character if he's the one that kills her. Now, if she's going to die and then she goes on national television and says that she won't be back next season, I want to smack her across the face.
Yeah, because now I know.
Okay, but, and then she's like, oh, but there's a lot of good stuff still coming. So what do you guys think? I don't know what to make of that. Like, unless she's just trying to negotiate, and maybe she thought she would be back next year, and maybe because she's not so popular, maybe the producers are like, well, we don't know if we're bringing her back next year. So she's going on national television to test the waters and being like, my contract was for a year, the year's up.
Something was up here. I think that this was a very calculated comment. She went, and I'm not saying that in a negative way, because I think she's probably very smart, and there's something she's trying to do.
Best case scenario. Best case scenario. For this comment is that she dies. She says she's not coming back.
If she dies.
But she comes
she
back.
She dies.
She dies, she dies. Rocky IV. Excellent.
And if they could teach Jim Gordon's girlfriend how to cry on camera, that would be great too.
Which one?
The blonde.
The blonde? Yeah. Oh,
but, well, I will say also.
So pretty though. So pretty.
So pretty.
I will be, I don't know if I love her character yet, so I'm not going to be devastated.
If you want to be happy
die.
For the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. If you want to be happy for the rest of your days.
Stay great. Single. Is that yes. what it is? I really enjoyed this week's episode, though. I'm looking
Sing
forward
it,
to seeing April 13, 2015.
okay, also in Gotham news, Lucius Fox,
yep.
which is a character, of course, made popular by Morgan Freeman in the Dark Knight films. And let's be honest, you know, both Arrow and Gotham are very influenced by the Nolan Batman films, will be coming to Gotham. I think it's this season. Now, I know this is a character that's actually been around since the 70s, but we all know him from Morgan Freeman's portrayal.
Yeah. He's very talented. He's a very talented
guy.
He was
great on Homeland.
And he was amazing in Newsroom and Homeland.
Yes, Newsroom as well.
He's awesome. So I think that this would be really a really strong casting
Chris
choice.
Chris Chalk is the actor's name. Yeah. Excuse me, Chris Chalk.
He's a really
is the
good fit
name.
To be the CEO. It's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, and so, I like the character, and I like bringing somebody else on. I think it's smart.
Is this character going to be an ally to young Bruce, who's trying to get involved in this company right now? But the board is kind of like, why is this 12-year-old telling us what to do?
Yes, yes. Of the entire board, he's going to be the person who's there helping him out, which I think he really needs right now. Because I feel bad for poor little Bruce.
I know. Well, you know, and it's a great relationship that Lucius and Wayne have in
Look
the
at that.
Nolan Batman films.
What a fit.
And yeah. I love that we're going to get to see the origin of that relationship on Gotham.
Yeah.
That's a great... great potential thing. Here's an interesting fact. You know, Lucius Fox was created by Len Wein, the same guy that created Wolverine. Okay? And Len Wein has said that he's made more money from the Lucius Fox character than the Wolverine
How
characters.
How is that possible?
Just because of the way that creators are compensated, because the creators don't own those characters at all. The comic book companies
that
own the characters.
That is so strange.
And what's crazy about it is that Marvel, as litigious as they were with the ownership of their characters, couldn't hold on to their properties and had to sell everything off in the 90s and sold Spider-Man for $7 million and now is only beginning to acquire their franchises back.
Yeah.
And yet they couldn't compensate these comic book guys that were just like writers, you know, like if they would have kept them happy, who knows what would have happened. Maybe they wouldn't have lost a lot of their talent in the 90s and they would have started making their own movies. They should do a what-if comic about what if Marvel paid their creators better.
So does that mean that DC historically has done a better job keeping their workers happy?
Actually, not true, because Joel Schuster and Jerry Siegel were famously very poor, the men who created Superman, and it was actually, who is it? Was it not Denny O'Neill, but it was his, oh God, he was just on Comic Book Man. Neil Adams. Oh. Neil Adams famously took up the legal fight for Schuster and Siegel, and then they finally were at least credited and compensated somewhat in their later days. So, no, comic book companies
Better
have been screwing
never.
The talent
yeah.
for years.
You could say that about just about any form of entertainment, really.
Well, I mean...
And he did.
Not the world of porn, certainly.
That's already assumed.
Yeah, exactly.
But now you have to use condoms and everything's gone.
So Lauren German is going to be playing the female lead in the Fox pilot for Lucifer, and she is fine.
Speaking of hot... Okay, not only is she going to be on a show about Lucifer, the Lord of Hades,
yeah.
but she comes from a show called Chicago Fire.
Exactly. Yeah.
She's like the TV Margot Robbie.
And she was in Hawaii 5-0 a couple years prior, too, and she plays
a
very warm comment. Kind of.
You think she looks like Margot Robbie?
Yeah, she's got that giant head and like alien cheekbones.
I don't find her chops to be like Margot Robbie.
I'm not speaking about her acting here. I've never seen Chicago Fire.
There's also a big difference in age between Margot Robbie and her. She's actually older than you.
She's 36.
Yeah.
Wow.
She looks like she could actually play a high school student.
Yeah.
Which I'm not saying that about. She's gorgeous, but she just looks very young.
She's really hot and does kind of look like an alien in the sweetest, sexiest way.
Right. Oh, totally.
Well, she plays
that tiny body, big head, bobblehead thing going on that makes her look alien sexy.
The story to this is interesting. She's going to be playing an LAPD homicide detective who is repulsed yet fascinated by Lucifer as they work together to solve murder. So apparently Lucifer's deal is he's so bored being...
Okay, in the comics, he's basically left hell to other people to run. At least in the few issues that I've read of Lucifer, he's in L.A., and it's sort of like a film noir mystery where he's got things that he has to deal with. He's still Lucifer, he's still got juice, but he doesn't run hell anymore. He's, like, retired to go, like, run nightclubs.
And he wants to figure out murders, and he decides to help the LAPD. I don't know if I like that, or if...
Exactly. It sounds like...
I think that you predicted this a couple of weeks ago, that this is exactly where the show was going to go.
Like a procedural? Like it's going to be a procedural? Well, it seems to be like what they do. Like it's going to be like a Sleepy Hollow, and it's actually directed by Len Wiseman, who produced Sleepy Hollow, at least in the beginning.
Right, for the first season, which... According to Steven,
so what do you guys
think
about this?
I think there's going to have to be some humor involved. How do you not crack the occasional joke or two about how Satan is now helping
Lucifer's,
out the cops?
Yeah, Lucifer is super charming.
Yeah.
So this is loosely based on the epic poem Paradise Lost from like the 1600s or something like that. That's all about like Lucifer coming down, you know, getting ousted from hell and like Adam and Eve and like the original sin and all that stuff. That's where like the idea was spawned. Here's the thing. I think this could be an amazing film.
An
amazing story.
Show.
No. I'm worried that it could be a crappy show.
Oh.
It's a great story. I'm just worried.
Why, you don't think you can flesh enough out of it?
If it just falls into that tropey, police procedurally.
That's what it sounds
too
like.
Too much. I mean, and also, it's the devil and it's hell, and I want to see, like, really nasty things, and I want to see naked people and swearing and all that.
We know you do.
I want to see this on, like, a serious cable channel, so...
Law and Order, Satan VU.
Yeah, or an FX kind of thing.
Law and Order, Satan VU. Sign me up. What do you guys think? Are you guys excited for Lucifer? Do you think it'll be good? Do you think, are we going to hear anything about that Joseph Gordon-Levitt Sandman movie? I haven't heard about that in a while.
We may never see Lucifer if it doesn't get picked up, so.
Right, it's a pilot. But it seems like every DC pilot gets picked up to series pretty quickly.
As network right now, you have to be kind of silly to not pick it up, I would think.
Okay, so moving on to the animated world, really quickly, there is a new clip online if you see another great show, DC All Access, hosted by Tiffany Smith and that other dude. They did a great article with a great interview with director Jay Olivia, who directed The Dark Knight Returns, and he's directed a lot of the DC animated films. And there's a clip online of Batman going toe-to-toe with the Court of Owls. Looks really cool. My favorite thing about this project is that it's written by J.M. DeMatteis, who wrote my favorite Spider-Man story of all time, Kraven's Last Hunt. I know Johnny's favorite is who's playing the Dollmaker.
Oh, Weird Al Yankovic. Hell yeah. That's going to be really cool.
Did you get a chance to see the clip, Roxy?
Yeah, I did. I watched it. I watched the entire thing, and I thought that it looked fine.
What do you think?
You guys know.
What looks less Andy than fine for me?
I don't even know how to put my finger on it. As you guys know, to be animation and do this, you have to blow my mind.
Blow your brains out?
Yeah, you have to. You'd have to blow my brains
literally
out.
Literally.
And it just didn't do it for me. I think it looked better than some.
I think I don't love the look of Batman with the chin guard thing.
Oh, you just didn't like his look.
That's the only thing that I didn't like. I think it looks... I'm excited. I really enjoy these movies for what they are.
Yeah.
They're, you know, about an hour long. It's great to see a lot of these newer characters in animated films. I just don't like the chin guard on Batman. It's a design thing. There have been lots of iterations of bats That's one that I'm not a fan of. What do you guys, like that chin guard-y kind of thing?
It really doesn't bother me at all. I'm excited the fact that Dollmaker's going to be involved. And
that is cool.
Not just that Weird Al's doing the VO, I just like the character.
I wish you guys could get me excited for this. I want to be excited for this. And the guy's name, by the way, that does it with Tiffany is Jason. I can't think of his last name.
Okay,
right now.
Cool. I'm sorry, Jason. come on our show. Let's have like a DC team-up show.
Boom.
Guys, pitch it to me. Like, I don't know.
You're going to watch it anyway.
Of course I'm going to watch it.
I don't know. Son of Batman was not my favorite. And this is kind of
and
a continuation of that.
Yeah.
I don't love this whole Damian Wayne business. I like my Batman Bruce Wayne as a swinging bachelor.
I'm with you.
Throwing him with a kid. It's one thing if to have a Dick Grayson. It's one thing to have a ward with no blood relations. Another thing that this little punk calling you, hey, daddy, daddy. And then in the comics now he's got superpowers. I don't know. It's weird. Let's see. Infinite Crisis game is coming to Steam. It's online. You can play the beta right now. The best thing about this, if you watch the trailer for the Infinite Crisis game, there is so much ass kicking with Doomsday that happens. And I hope that Doomsday is not really a big part of Batman v Superman. Do you guys think he will be?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
You think he's going to be the main threat?
I think there's big potential. I'm not positive, but I think that there is a lot of potential. I really wouldn't mind that. How come you would have a problem with it?
Because I really want to see that in like a separate Man of Steel movie after the Justice League movies. Mm. That's when I want to see the death of Superman or Doomsday at least dealt with, when we have the other characters that could come in and make cameos. That's just my feeling. I would be cool with seeing the Doomsday Project, seeing some of Zod's being cloned, even if he's got like some calcified horns or something. That would be an Easter egg or even just an intimation, if you will, of what Doomsday could someday be.
You don't want to be in the main.
I don't want to be in the main thing, because you have so much exposition to do in this film that is like, oh, Doomsday's loose. I guess we got to team up and kick his butt.
It's setting the tone. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Well, they definitely need to team up to kick somebody's butt.
Somebody's butt does need kicking, so whose will it be?
Well, we could talk about another villain. I know one of the questions. I think we're about to get to him.
Okay. Real quickly, I just wanted to address, in the comics right now, starting in June, the team that's been with the Batman since New 52 began, Capullo and Snyder, they are continuing. I think we're losing the New 52 moniker, but we're moving on with the same numbering. Batman's got a crazy new look. Check it out.
Wow.
Bat Chappie? What do you guys think? Chappie's bombing at the box office, and then they designed Batman to look exactly like Chappie.
Robobat.
Yeah.
Played by Joel Kinnaman.
Very, very weird. What do you guys think? Basically, there's an interesting quote. Scott Snyder said, I'm not going to spoil it specifically, but I can tell you unequivocally, it is the boldest, weirdest, biggest thing we've tried on the book. I'm not being hyperbolic. You'll see it, and you'll be like,
yo,
I can't believe they're doing that.
Yeah.
So, now we've seen other people become
Batman.
Voice?
Is that what you're going to do it like?
Like what?
Like, I can't believe they're doing that.
I can't believe they're doing that.
Like the Californians?
Like the Californians. Why are you, Batman, why do you look like a robot?
I mean,
if this translated to the movies in some way, I think people in the chat are going to be pissed because they like Ben Affleck's butt chin.
What about Superman looking like he's going on. Changing the oil? I mean, he's just like...
Yeah, okay, so we don't know what's going on with Batman look, but Wonder Woman and Superman are also getting new looks. Take a look at Superman's look. He looks kind of like Superboy from the 90s.
So tall.
Very tall.
His legs are just so long.
But the shirt is a nod to the Max Fleischer cartoons. Like, that's what the original animated Superman looked like. So what do you think? He's ditching the cape and the tights, and he's just like... He looks like...
No, there's no way.
That's not going to be the...
I don't think that's the only...
For a little while?
Yeah, for a little bit, but
capes in the shop?
Things will just add and add and add.
That's his weekend barbecue gear. He's fine.
Oh, he's grilling on the weekends.
Yeah, look at him.
I don't know. It's a cool look. I like it. It'll be interesting to see if this ties into the solar flare business or anything. It looks very much like the Superboy from the Young Justice.
He looks like the big dude that could be sitting next to me at the movies, though. Like, I need more.
All I know is...
Where the hell do you sit next to
me? I promise you one thing, loyal viewers. You're going to see me in that shirt before the spring is through. Because that is a badass... Sure.
100%.
The yellow outline, black background.
And you're going to fill it out exactly like that illustration.
That's right. I'm going to get a triple extra small.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be like, it is baby short. It makes me look like I have muscle, but I have no muscle.
Just get one of those, like, muscle things.
And what about Wonder Woman's look? Because Wonder Woman looks pretty...
She looks
awesome.
This is the best look of the three, by far.
I agree.
I feel like she just looks like she could...
She's got her little retractable blade style.
and I love the gold. And
they're always
the
trying
placement.
To put her in pants. The pants make sense. No. The boots look great. The shoulder gauntlets.
Everything about that is phenomenal.
I love it.
It's practical.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's protective of things. So, yeah.
So, very exciting week in the world of DC. Let's go to some questions right now. A lot of exciting things in the comics. It's always interesting to see how that will tie back into the movies and the animated films as DC sort of continues its unification, as DC moves out to California and they're all under one roof in Burbank.
Okay.
We got to get to questions fast.
So, something that we're really liking is the fact that we are reaching out to people all over the place. And this is from somebody from Argentina.
Argentina!
Maximo Becco says,
"What up, man?
Greetings and salutations from Argentina. I recently discovered the show last week, and I've been doing a marathon of all the episodes. Thank you, and I love it. My question for the show is: we know that Darkseid is going to show up in the DCCU, most likely in Justice League Part 2, and I was wondering who would you cast for the role? I would love to see Ron Perlman as the ruler of Apocalypse, and he would do an amazing job. What are your thoughts? P.S. Roxy, Amazing Spider-Man 2 is the best movie ever. I love you."
Thanks, Becco. You had to put that last
Maximo
sentence in.
Maximo Becco, I love you.
Great choice, though, on Perlman. Do you have any? I have a couple ideas.
You know what? Once he said Ron Perlman,
that's all you think of?
That's all I could think of, because let me tell you, I used to watch the CBS show Beauty and the Beast with Linda Hamilton, Ron Perlman. Love him on Sons of Anarchy. Love him as Hellboy. I love me some Ron Perlman. Mm. And I don't think we're getting a Hellboy 3. And this is the kind of role that he's an older guy now. There's
going to
be a lot of CGI enhancement. I think it's a great choice. So I'm going to take our friend from Argentina.
You know, it's got to be somebody who's very, very successful and well-known,
ooh,
I think.
And you're about to give me something good.
Yeah, and I said this briefly to you off-air last week. I don't know if you remember, but Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis, I think, would kick butt. And
he
he's big enough
so
celebrity.
New York.
And
I don't know.
Who cares?
I don't ever see Bruce Willis. He just never seems like he could be that, like, sort of, like, Shakespearean disappearing. Like, he's always, like a hard-boiled New York-y, Chicago-y kind of thing to me. Jersey. I just don't know if I see him as Darkseid.
Willis is very likable, too.
He is likable.
Darkseid's one of the most evil creations in you know, the history of history.
God.
Oh, yeah. And big enough.
Do you guys think we'll see Darkseid in Justice League, like, part one, part two? Do you think they'll get there that
hell
quick?
Hell yeah, I think so. I think it's a great character to put in there.
Part one, part two are very different times.
Yeah.
So part two, yes. Part one, mm-mm.
Yeah, I think maybe end of part one, cliffhanger,
exactly.
Kind of thing. Boom tube, and that was my whole idea of, like, I love the idea of that's when the Green Lantern Corps gets involved, and it's just, like, epically huge.
The few options that I have here, I actually found this interesting. Originally, Darkseid, his face was modeled after Jack Palance.
Oh, really?
Huh.
Yeah, which I found very, very intriguing.
It is a kind of wrinkly, cracked face.
Yeah, and so I'm thinking about that. Then, of course, you know, Darkseid has almost like, and they said they modeled his personality kind of after Hitler and, you know, the whole regime he had going
another
on.
Another very popular evil person.
Absolutely. So the three I came up with, I'm not saying they're better than any of these guys, John Malkovich, Christoph Waltz, or Tobin Bell. Tobin Bell's terrifying in Saw.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Tobin
true.
Bell's
Tobin
a good
Bell
one.
Is terrifying.
You know, they're all a little older.
I like Malkovich, too.
Mm. Yeah.
We got another question?
People aren't agreeing with my Willis, but I'm just going to stick with it.
Stick with it, Roxy. Be strong.
Okay. This is coming from @Kunali_B91.
Uh-huh.
Does it upset/annoy you that DC can't make their own films? I would prefer if WB set DC up with its own studio.
You know, Warner Brothers acquired DC so long ago that
I feel like they have a grasp on them.
Well, it's not just that. It's just like it's not even like an issue of like setting them free. Like they've owned it so long now, it's almost like there's not an entity there to really separate.
It's like synonymous. I feel like every time I say Warner Brothers DC, you know, it's not like Marvel where people are bouncing around and all over the place.
I hear what you're saying, though, because at least, you know, say what you will about Marvel, at least, you know, Fox can be developing something while Marvel's developing something. You can have more things in development and more points of view. Everything DC, for the most part, with the exception of like the Vertigo kind of stuff, maybe Sandman, things like that, are going to have that same, it's going to be in the same world. But I think that's a good thing. I mean, if they do it well, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Boom.
Okay, cool. Moving on.
We got one more, and then we got to bounce.
Well, this one was just funny then. From Tanner Wood, Act Dr. Ghetto Batman says, who would win the fight, Batman or an actual bat? I just said that so I could see smoke coming out of Adam's ears.
Well, it's a terrible question because, I mean, you know, what kind of bat are you talking about? I mean, like, there's the the African flounce bat. Are we talking about a domestic?
About the bat in Ace Ventura 2? Is there guano bowls involved?
Exactly. There could be guano bowls. You know, is Man Bat an actual bat? Because he's a man bat? Because Batman versus Batman? I don't know.
Yeah. Can Batman use a batarang?
This question has blown my brains out.
How many bats are coming? If there's multiple bats.
Yeah, swarm of bats or a one-on-one bat thing?
Is it a gaggle of bats?
Yeah, it could be a gaggle of bats.
You need they travel in gaggles. I've heard.
I don't know. I'm going to need the week to think of this question.
They can't see for shit, though.
Guys, if you're following us, you know, tweet with the hashtag DC Movie News at the Popcorn Talk.
Yes.
Is that our thing?
Yeah, we're at the Popcorn Talk, and you can also find us at DC Movies SK.
Yes.
And if you do tweet from at the Popcorn Talk, then they will retweet you, which is really cool. So yes. Make sure you tweet out our link.
Yes.
Hashtag DC Movie News, our link, Popcorn Talk link. They'll retweet you. Bada boom.
That's guaranteed retweetage.
Yeah.
Who else is offering that kind of twattage and tweetage?
Wow.
So
okay.
Thank you so much once again.
I think a lot
for
of
DC Movie News, I'm Adam Gertler. You can find me online at Adam Gertler.
I'm Roxy Stryer. You can find me at Roxy Stryer. And don't forget to check out our Facebook page, too, and on iTunes. And on YouTube, and make sure you give us that thumbs up, that 5 stars, whatever you can, and comment. We love hearing what you guys have to say. You're the best.
At Jay Quasto, I'm headlining the Brea Improv this Wednesday, March 18th. If you live in Southern California, please come out. And also, Stand Up Scottsdale, April 2nd to 5th. So if you're in Arizona, hit me up, and I'd love to see you. That's all I got.
Bring in April with some comedy from Johnny.
I hear he's pretty funny.
All right, we'll see you next time.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.